Blog Talk Radio.
We got up here 20 minutes ago.
Huh? See, lady, I've been trusting and confessing the wrong things, been messing with my head, but you're caressing, release pain, distressing, and instead of concentrating on situations, I'm facing steady pacing, and I'm making a move.
I'm hesitating and I'm nervous,
but that one word just
feels like it's gonna be alright.
I can make it through the night.
Don't wanna hear mama say, or daddy say, or sister say, or brother say,
I just wanna hear.
You got your Bible. I'm going to send it by your side.
God, you can help me. Good evening, Sister Tawana.
Good evening.
All right. Auntie Betty.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. Is that Deborah Sean?
Yes. Yeah. Good evening.
Good evening. Okay, we also have Mother May and Douglas Bruce on the line.
Good evening, you all.
While we're still waiting, Mother Bruce and I were thinking that our last call, we ended after the prayer on page 23. Is that what you guys have as well?
Yeah, but we started 22 and 3.
Oh.
So what you said?
Yeah.
That's so what we stopped there.
That number three will use this technique? Okay.
Yeah,
I had it marked, but I wrote. Okay, I had it marked 317, and it threw me off. Okay, so that's actually today.
Yeah, 22 we start.
Okay. Thank you, Auntie Dot. Well, it's 2-week break, man. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Got to get my brain out of travel mode, vacation mode, and all the other
modes. All kind of modes. No, you ain't by yourself.
I tell you, first day back at church, everybody like, "Ooh, we so glad y'all back." I was like, "Yeah, y'all trying to put me back to work." That's fine. Not to go, man. I'm still on vacation. Shoot.
It was first one, Miss.
Yeah, we'll have to go get that blood.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess I was expecting more people to come, but based on the cards that we gave out. But I appreciate you guys and I appreciate your time. We're gonna go ahead and get started, and if we do have callers, then I will add appropriately.
Okay.
you too. So. Come in. Starting. Okay, I do still want to do a scripture. I just think it's proper etiquette when we come before the Lord to play a scripture and say a prayer before we start. I'm going to do what we had been doing, but not play the whole book. I'm just going to do a summary of First Chronicles 29. But for next week I'm going to probably either start assigning someone to do a scripture or pick out a scripture for someone to read. So I'll think about how that makes it easier, simple. I think we should do a scripture that's according to what we're learning. So I'll think more about that. But for now, as we still allowing people time to join, I'm going to read the First Chronicles 29. This chapter concludes with the account of David's reign and his death, noting his honor and strength as a king. First Chronicles 29 is an inspiring chapter that covers the final days of King David, his heartfelt prayers, and the appointment of his son Solomon as his successor. So I'm sure it goes in a lot of details, but we're going to go ahead and go into our program. So first of all, I just want to do roll call. We have Mother May. We have Sister Tawana, Auntie Betty, Deborah Sue, Sarah Sean, Auntie Dot, and myself. So I'm just going to say good evening, everyone, and welcome back to our prayer session.
Good evening.
So welcome to the Nellens Family and Friends Weekly Prayer Program. We are a family that is gathered together to give God honor and to praise his holy name. And today I had Auntie Betty for the opening prayer. Is that correct, or was that last time? Auntie Betty?
Yes.
Did I have you for the opening prayer today, or was that the last time?
It wasn't the last time, but I do it.
That's okay. You do it again? Okay, awesome. Okay. You ready whenever you are. Auntie Betty, did you want me to do it, or were you going to do it?
Are you telling me, Angela?
Yes, ma'am. Did you want me to do it, or were you going to do it? Okay, I could go ahead and do it. All right. You guys will please bow your heads. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come before you on this day to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. We just thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for all that you do for us in our lives. We are so grateful for the opportunity to have fellowship with these young ladies on this line and other family members and friends in Georgia. It was a beautiful time. We thank you for being in the midst and bringing us together. Although it was a sad occasion, it was also a happy occasion. And we just appreciate the opportunity. And Father God, we just ask that you open up our eyes and our ears as we go through this lesson today to enlighten us on your word and what you will have us to do with that word as we proceed on in our next step of the day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Okay. All righty. Let's go ahead and go where we start off at. We're going to read at the bottom of page 22. Mother May, can I have you read that number 3 item?
Okay. The bottom.
Bottom of 22.
Oh.
You're not on the right page.
22. Oh. The bottom of 22. Correct. Use this technique whenever you start thinking about this area of your life, I suggest writing the statement on a sticky note or a note in your phone. The faster you speak God wisdom over your worry, the sooner God can crush your worry before it again to make you miserable.
And what we're talking about here, we had right before that, we talked about wisdom over worry. We all kind of listed some of the things that we worried the most about today and what was our fear around that. So her tool that she left with us is to kind of write those things down so that we can start memorizing what we need to do to help us change that worry or fear. So the first question says, reflect. How does it feel to submit your worry to God's wisdom? And I'm just going to go down the line. If you don't have anything to say in reference to that, if you answer that question, you can say pass. So I'm going to start with Sister Tawana.
I pass.
Okay. Auntie Betty?
I am good.
Okay. All righty. Gregory Bruce?
Well, for me, I feel like when I'm ready to submit my worry to God's wisdom, it allows me to, it feels like a weight has been lifted off of me, because that fear and that worry seems like it's weighing me down. Mm-hmm. So when I'm able to let go and just give it to God, I feel like, you know, it releases a lot of stress away from me, and it allows that weight to be lifted from me, and I'm able to move forward with what I need to do in my life.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Okay. All right. Thank you for sharing, Auntie Betty and Douglas, in reference to how that makes you feel. I will go next, and I kind of agree with Auntie Betty. I said I feel good, but the other word I had was freedom. A sense of freedom, which kind of ties in a little bit with what others were saying as well. Okay, so next I have Auntie Dot.
Well, I go along with Ben and Bruce are saying, would like something to be lifted off of you. It makes you feel better and look like you're able to cope with it a little better, because you're going to lift some of that burden off of you.
Thank you for sharing, Auntie Dot. Next up, Barishan.
Make me feel fearless.
Yes, you do. I'm sorry, say that again. Uh-oh, we lost her. We'll get it back. We'll let Mom go ahead until Barrow comes back.
Not the same question.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I had put down good, and be one thing that you know that the Lord, that you are committed to God, and then it makes you feel light, and it helps you to understand that He's right there accepting whatever we are worrying about. And when you turn it over to Him, that lightens your burden, makes you feel like helping me.
Thank you for sharing that, Mother. And then, Beryl, you're back. Would you like to share anything with us?
I'm
sorry, we can't hear you.
Can't hear you. Fearless.
Got it. Fearless. Yes. Okay. Got it. All right. Okay. Awesome. So, Let me see, we just got another caller come on. Let me go ahead and announce them. Is that Sister Shirley?
Yes, good evening.
Good evening. Welcome. I'm just going to do a quick roll call so you know who's all on the call. We have Mother May, we have Sister Tawana, Auntie Betty, Douglas Bruce, Barishon, Auntie Dot, myself, and you, Sister Shirley. We are on the bottom of page 22.
Okay.
And you were just right on time to answer this question. Uh-huh. Everyone else has answered, and I'm going to recap after we talk with you. If you get a chance to answer that one, would you like to share?
I'm trying to catch up right now. Come back to me later. Okay.
No worries. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and recap, and then I'm going to open it back up if people want to share a little bit more. So basically, we were just talking about how does it feel to commit our worries to God's wisdom. And majority of all said good. We had one person that said freedom. Two people that said that the weight was lifted off of them and the stress was relieved somewhat. We had another person that said that it helped them to cope better. And the one that I liked that Mother brought was just accepting the fact that you're in a worried state. You know, you can't fix what's broken if you don't acknowledge that it's broken. So I really like that, accept our worry. And then we also had one that says fearless. So I hope this gives all of us a good comprehensive list of things, emotions that we get from this worry. Sometimes some of us only have the same type of worry, not all of the different ones that are prevalent. But I think the key of sharing is that depending on the circumstance, that particular issue might come in handy for you. So as we go through this process and we learn, it may help us know how to deal with those types of different circumstances if we're faced with them. So do you want to come back to, I'll open it up to anyone else who they want to share anything else, and then I'm going to ask Sister Shirley if she wants to add. Okay, Sister Shirley.
Okay. I would say relief. Once you submit your worry to God, and you know in your heart that, you know, he can fix it, I think you feel a little relieved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I could go very closely with the weight being lifted on that worry that you have. So.
Right.
And it could also go around with that freedom, the sense of freedom that you have in your mind.
Yeah.
So, thanks everyone for sharing. We're going to go over to what this prayer is. And basically what this prayer is just a prayer that you can probably memorize yourself and then plug in that key thing that worries you the most in the blank area and move forward with it. So I'm just going to say it from my perspective just so that we all understand what all into that prayer. God, just as the Israelites were afraid of the giants in the land of Canaan, sometimes I am overwhelmed by the giant worries in my life. Yet, because you are with me, I don't have to worry or fear. So today I am worried about others' lack of effective communication, and I need to give that worry to you. I can't do anything about it, but you can. In Jesus' name, amen. And that really sums it up, that we can give it to him and say, God, I'm done with it.
Amen.
It's a beautiful prayer.
All righty. So let's go ahead to Joshua, day three. So what I'm going to have is, Tawana, would you read the first paragraph for us? Are you on mute?
Yeah, I had it on mute. I'm sorry. When I was 14 years old, my parents announced that we was traveling from our home in Ohio to Oklahoma to visit my grandfather and his wife. Not only had I never been to Oklahoma, but I also never met my father's mother's biological father. My grandparents divorced when my mother was young, and she and my grandmother moved across the country. After that, my mother stayed in touch with her father through mail and phone calls, but was able to visit in person only a few times. Then years later, this opportunity arose for my parents to take us kids to meet and connect with our grandfather for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Tawana. So, well, let's continue on. Auntie Betty, would you carry us on with the next paragraph, please?
You want me to read the next paragraph?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I don't know how many times my 11-year-old sister, 7-year-old brother, and I asked our parents, are we there yet? During the 18-hour drive, but I do remember that we was about an hour away from my grandfather's home when my daddy whipped the van into a parking lot. My parents' father never raised his voice during our cross-country drive. But after listening to three kids bickering and complaining across five states in the heat of traffic, he needs a break. I can't hardly see. Dad jumped out and ordered us out of the vehicle. Then one at a time, he lifted each of us, positioned us on the top of the different corner of the van. From my corner, I could see my dad stalling. Off across the parking lot.
Yeah. All righty. Thank you, Auntie Betty. Mother May, would you read the next two paragraphs?
By the time the Israelites reached the edge of Canaan, I am pretty sure there was a few parents who felt tired and worried like my dad. They had spent decades packing and unpacking, listening to whining children or spouse, and wondering when their long journey was really coming to an end. One of the major themes in the book of Joshua is that God always kept his promise. Canaan wasn't just an idea that God came up with while the Israelites was wandering around. God wasn't panicking, thinking that maybe he should get them off the road and sell them because they've been adrift for too long. In fact, God was about to bring a promise to pass that he made many centuries before. Long before the Israelites arrived at the eastern edge of Jordan, God had made a promise to a man named Abram. Later, we named Abraham.
Thank you for reading. I probably should have stopped this after she shared their trip. Just want to kind of go back to where Tawana and Auntie Betty read, where the young lady was talking about their trip across five states. And I'm just sitting here and I'm just imagining my little grandkids. I just went an hour over to Tony's house and they drove me crazy. just imagine being in a van and your kids keep, you know, going on and, you know, and probably they, who knows, do they have the little TVs to keep them busy, the phones to keep back in the day. We didn't have all that stuff. So just imagine how irritating that could be to the driver. And how frustrating that could be to just ride in that long period of time. And so you are dealing with worry at this point. The question is how you handle it. And so then it comes back, and what Mother Red is just reflecting on what it had to be like for the Israelites wandering around in the desert all that time and still not reaching their destination. And if any of them were smart enough, they knew that there was a better route, but God had them going a different route, and that even took them longer to get there. So, you know, that kind of helps me understand how they were just so stiff-necked, so to speak, to God and not gracious because they were so frustrated with how long it was taking them to get to the promised land. I thought that was very interesting. But before we go to the next section, does anyone else have any comments or feedback on what we just read through?
Of course.
I'm going to go to that. Okay, if not, if you have your Bibles, let's go to Genesis 12, 1 and 3.
Was that Angie?
Go to the Bible, Genesis 12, 1 through 3.
I see I didn't get to it. What you call
Is that the bottom of the page 23 where it says read Genesis 12, 1 through 3? Let's pull that up.
What?
Well, okay, I got you.
Okay.
What did God promise from?
Genesis 12. And the question that is presented to us that we're going to hopefully find the answers as we read through the three verses is, what did God promise Abraham? I'm going to ask Auntie Dot, would you read the verses, and then we're going to kind of see, can we list the things that he promised Abraham?
Oh, hold on, Auntie.
Okay.
What did you want me to read? What now?
Genesis 12, verse 1.
Oh, I ain't got my Bible.
Oh, that's okay. Read. You want me to get somebody else?
Yeah, please. Okay.
Daryl, would you mind? Who was that?
Okay.
Was that Daryl?
None to love. Yeah.
Yes.
Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them and that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And these shall all families of the earth be blessed.
Amen. Amen. So, in answer to this question, I'm just going to go down my list, and if you can just share if you have an answer. Just one of your answers would be great. What did God promise Abraham? I'll start off with Mother Mary.
The land for people of a great nation.
Great nation, okay. Sister Tawana, did you answer that one? Would you like to share one of your answers? You might be talking to me again.
I'm talking to me again.
That's okay.
He said he would make his name.
Great.
Great, and you will be blessing. You'll be a blessing.
All righty. Next, I have Auntie Betty.
And what I had on a day they missed that was that he said he would cuss them that mistreat them.
Amen. That's another one. Douglas, did you get a chance to answer that one? Would you like to share?
Well, he just said that he would bless them and their families, and he would curse those who, you know, came before him and curse them.
Correct. Now, I had the four different things. Did anybody have anything else? We had make be a great nation. I will bless you and bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. Were there any other ones that anyone captured that I didn't find?
And curse them that
curse you.
Curse them that curse thee.
Yeah.
What about the land?
What's that? Mm-hmm. How about this for a second, guys? Hold on just a second. Oh, yes, it broke. Hold on a second, guys. We just had a weird thing happen.
Okay.
You just take the ice cream and see if it's cool. If it's ice, yeah, it's cool. Maybe it was not the middle of the second. Oh, okay. Did it break? That's weird. I'm sorry, God. We just heard something sound like a bomb blew up in the kitchen. Oh, okay. It's nothing. Okay. All righty, thank you guys for your patience. We just heard something go off in the kitchen. We know what it was. All righty. So those were the four things that God promised Abraham. And as you know, he had asked Abraham to leave his home, and he made these promises. But as you know, Abraham didn't live long enough to see all of this come to fruition. But God kept his promise to his people.
Okay.
I hope I didn't get it.
Was also named Abraham, to the Abram.
That was a promise. That's something he did.
Uh-huh. That's right.
That was something about him. That was something that he did, not a promise. That was just something he did, not a promise.
That's that he made a promise.
Right.
He named Abraham.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Let's move on to page 24. If I can get Sister Shirley, would you read the first paragraph up top?
At the time of the promise, Abram didn't even have any kids. In fact, he and his wife, Sarai, later renamed Sarah, were still childless, while, which was devastating to a woman in that society. Yet, since God always keeps his promises, eventually the beloved Abraham and Sarah had a son named Isaac. And one day their son, Isaac, had twin boys named Jacob and Esau. Jacob would become the father of 12 sons who would become the ancestors of the 12 tribes of Israel. It was the descendants of those sons who were gathered on each east of the Jordan with Joshua standing on the edge of a promise that was finally coming true. I'm sorry.
No problem. Amen. Amen. So the book is asking us to go to, in our Bibles, Joshua 1:3. And the question at the on the table right now is, what has God promised Joshua?
He will give him, I'll give you every place you step your foot, as I promised Moses.
Come on. No, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you know, the verse itself is self-explanatory. Right, so we're just going to move on unless anyone has any comments they would like to share. I'm going to get rid of that sister. Okay. All righty. Douglas, would you like to read the next paragraph for us?
God repeated to Joshua the same words he spoke to Moses in Deuteronomy 11:24. This promise was very personal to Joshua, for as you learned yesterday, years ago, Joshua had turned the beautiful land that God was now about to give to the Israelites, had toured. He knew the bounty of the land, but he also knew the uncertainty and dangers that awaited them too.
Thank you for that. And then the next question goes to read Joshua 1:4-5. And what are the next promises that God makes to Joshua? I'll read 4-5, and then I'll go down the list and see what you guys have to share with the promises. From the wilderness and their Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee, and I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So basically, verse 4 kind of lets them know what territory of the land that they are to inhabit and what group of people are already there. And then he goes into the promises. So what are the next promises that God makes to Joshua? Bereshon, do you have an answer for that section that you would like to share?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you already discussed that would be what part would be his land. And with the sun going down, that would be his coast. He will stand by him at all times. He will not fail him or forsake him. Which means he will never lose his side. Whatever he in my mind he's saying something, but I know he won't never leave his side.
Right. He will never fail you. Yeah. And you know, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but you know, when I was thinking about, you know, the Israelite moving off to this promised land, it never dawned on me they got to fight for the land. So you know, until reading through a lot of Joshua in depth, that I realized that it wasn't that easy. And sometimes I think we approach situations where we're thinking it's not going to be that difficult, but yet when we get upon it, we realize how difficult it really is, and that's what brings on our worry. So that was kind of, you know, I wanted to kind of bring those two thoughts together, that, you know, those can create worry habits when, because it's an unknown. All right. Thank you for reading. Douglas and Daryl, yeah, both of y'all got these two names. I don't know which one to use first. Daryl, for the answers. Appreciate it. All righty. Next, could I have, everyone has read. So I'm going to start over again. Mother May, would you read the next paragraph for us?
God repeated.
That's not, where are you?
Brother.
Joshua.
Got to come all the way down, Joshua.
Oh, you want me to? Oh, that paragraph for the week.
Paragraph. Which is Joshua. Where are you?
Page 20. Okay, down here. Joshua has been a warrior. That's it?
Yes.
Joshua had been a warrior, and God knew that his military leadership experience would be needed once the Israelites crossed over the Jordan River into Canaan. Though Joshua may have seen the land, he didn't know what it would take to capture the land. All he knew was that God promised to be with him every step of the way and to deliver victory. Keep going. Okay.
Any comments, any thoughts on that before we move forward? Okay. Sister Tawana, would you read the next paragraph for us?
Yes. This is a good time for us to find out a little more about Joshua. While the book is named after him, it's more of a narrative of the Israelite than it is of their leaders. In Scripture, we see that he is a powerful and
pivotal
influence long before the full length. Historically, books bearing his name begins. In fact, Joshua appeared in the book of Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, allowing us to assemble a composite picture of their man of faith.
Any comments anyone would like to share at this point?
Here, I was thinking about Joshua. He was with Moses, and he saw what Moses went through. And he was with the three spies that had gone over earlier and saw what the land was like. But the people rejected what they had to say, the three had to say about the land. So now he's finding out, you know, what it's going to take to take the people into the land. Am I getting ahead of myself when I said, you know, he had gone, he was one of the ones that went through and...
No, ma'am, we talked about that earlier.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Right. You're fine. You're perfect. That was a recap. That's perfect.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a thought on that one, too. And I like the way they pointed out, you know, his strengths that he had, but what he did not have yet was the ability to lead this group of people. He was, like you said, he was following behind Moses, and you know, it's easy to follow a leader and you think you sometimes know what they should do or could have done, but when you're in that position, it's a whole nother ball game. And that's where I felt he was. And you know, and sometimes we're in that boat as well. You know, it looks easier on the other side, as they say, the grass look greener. But when we get on that other side, it's not as green as it looks.
All right.
So that was one of the things that stood out for me. He did that to me. Okay. Thank you, Tawana, for reading that section. Next, we will have Auntie Betty.
Yes.
If you read the next paragraph.
Yes. Joshua, born in Egypt during the Hebrew captivity,
he lived through the pledge. His flesh passed over, and the great escape from Pharaoh through the Red Sea. We know he was at least 20 years old when the Israelites fled from Egypt because as we say today, he and Caleb was exempt from God's curse on the rebellion of people following despite evident
expedition.
That's right. Expedition into the promised land. Numbers chapter 14:29-30. Like the other Israelites, Josh had an eyewitness perspective on seeing God protect and provide for the people as well as disciple them. He served in many important roles before God called him to the biggest leadership challenge in his life.
Amen.
All righty.
Well, I have a little comment.
Yeah.
Pretty much through Joshua's life, you know, he experienced a lot. So God really felt comfortable with him being their leader because he had learned a lot during this process and seen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So God was comfortable with him being their leader.
I would like to also add that God obviously found something in him because he was a young man. So, you know, God, you know, he was selected by God. God saw something in him. He knew that Joshua could do more than he thought he could do. And he assured him, I will be with you just as I was with Moses.
Amen. That was part of what I was about to add to. I don't know how many times, but we had it several times. Be strong and be courageous. Mom, don't do that while we're talking.
Right.
Be strong and courageous and let him know that I will be with you because he knew that it was a challenge that he was going to face. But we got to keep in mind that when God created us, He knows what we are capable of doing. Just we need to find out our purpose and know what we're capable of doing. And the only way to do that is to have faith and trust in God. And this is where you know, Joshua had to lean on God because he knew he didn't have all that he needed at that time. But God believed in him, and God let him know that he believed in him, and that encouraged him, and that gave him, you know, the strength to pursue the goal that God had asked him to do.
Yeah.
Good discussion. Good thing. Thanks for sharing. Anybody else before we move on? The next session talks about three different verses, and they ask us to draw a line to match each of Joshua's earlier roles with the appropriate scripture. Auntie Dot, do you have your Bible?
Yes.
Okay. Would you read Exodus 17:9 and then tell us which one it goes with?
Yeah. 17, verse what now? Verse 1.
9. Uh-huh.
Okay, hold on. Okay, Exodus. 1, verse 9.
Yes, ma'am. 17, 9.
Oh, that's 17.
17, 9. You would read it first
okay.
And then tell the specific answer.
17:9.
And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men, and go out. Fight with
Amalek.
Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my head.
Okay.
So he's talking about the warrior.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Okay.
Sister Shirley, would you read, thank you for that, Auntie Dot. Sister Shirley, would you read Numbers 13:1-16 and tell us if answer goes with that one?
Okay, just a minute.
Numbers.
We don't want to go all the way through 1-16, but, you know, that's a lot.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, we don't want you to read all of that, but you can just go ahead and give us the answer.
Well, okay. Well, I got to see what it's about first.
You can read it.
Numbers 13, 1. Let me just see what it's about, and then I can probably tell you, because we done already eliminated one. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. So it's probably going to be spy, explore, scout.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Shirley. Next I have Douglas. You can do the last one for Exodus 24.
Exodus 24:13.
Yes.
And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. So at that point, he needs the assistance.
Amen.
Yes. All righty. Very good stuff. I like that.
Yeah.
And I think what they're, and to kind of summarize what we just did, that exercise, it was just kind of pointing out to us the experience that Joshua had obtained throughout Exodus and Numbers. Okay. I'm going to go with the second one, the next one. Joshua's name itself gives us some insight into his ultimate role or calling. Interestingly, this name by which he is remembered was not his original name. This was new. This was a learning for me. So that's Mystery number 13:8-16, so that we can find out what was Joshua's original name. So I will do this one and go to Numbers.
Number 13.
8. Yes. And it says, of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun. And then it asks me to go to 16. And it says, these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshaphat. So I'm sure the translation came up with Joshua. So his original name was Oshea.
Okay.
Yeah. So I learned something.
Right.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Was his original name Oshea, or was his real original name Jehoshaphat?
Oshea. What I got was, because it kind of pointed out in verse 8, but it didn't relate. In verse 8, it didn't relate to Moses, so then it come back. That's why they had us read two verses so that we can kind of pinpoint who, which child they're talking about.
Okay.
But his name was Oshea.
All right.
Okay. All righty. Let me see who I have next. Beryl Sean, I have you next, please. Oh, hold on. I got you muted. I'm sorry. You dropped and came back in. Okay, go ahead, Sean.
You would give me the one without the whole thing.
The name Hosea
means salvation in Hebrew. But later, Moses renamed him Joshua. This is translated Yoshia, or Jehoshia, meaning the Lord is salvation. Scholars have suggested different reasons for this name change, with some indicating that it was a common practice when appointing a second in command. See chapter 41, verses 44 to 45, and Daniel, chapter 4, verse 8. Perhaps Moses recognized that Joshua would save him. Whatever the reason, there is even deeper meaning to be found here. Like much of the Old Testament, the book of Joshua contains symbolism that is fully revealed in the New Testament. And one of the most prevalent symbols is Joshua as a type of Jesus. In fact, Jesus' name means Joshua in Hebrew.
That was another interesting read as well.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know what?
I think I had read this one.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just saying I hadn't read it, but that's very interesting to me.
Yeah. Very interesting. Okay, so it goes to read the following passages of Scripture, noting the parallels between Joshua and Jesus. So let's go to Joshua 1:10 through 11.
Joshua 1:10 through 11. Mother, maybe read that for us.
Okay.
So Joshua ordered the office of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will be crossing the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land your God is giving you for your own. So that's it.
Mm-hmm. We stop there.
Okay, stop right there.
Mm-hmm. And so then the fill in the blank here is Joshua was the what of the people?
Leader of the people.
Amen.
Leader of the people.
You know what I just picked up on when we were reading through 11? Mom's version didn't say it, but in the King James version, it talks about the 3 days and the Passover.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
That's another parallel, too. All righty. Next, I have Tawana. Would you do Hebrews 2:10 for us?
Okay. Let me find it.
Hebrew.
Okay, what verse? I'm sorry, I'm coming.
That's okay.
My page is stitched together, so hold on. Okay, chapter 2.
Verse 10.
Okay, chapter 2, verse 10, and 5 and 10. Okay. For in bringing many sons to glory, it was entirely appropriate that God, all things exist for him, and through him should make the sources of their salvation perfect through suffering. That's it.
If you would read that sentence and fill in the blank for us, please.
Uh-huh. Jesus was the leader, captain, pioneer, to bring people to glory.
That's good. That's it.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Does anyone have anything different?
I have salvation.
Salvation. It's the same thing.
Glory. Yes,
I have salvation, too.
Salvation.
Okay. Jesus was the leader, captain, pioneer to bring people to their salvation. For the King, him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect and salvation.
That's that.
I think the key word on this one, Tawana, is that the captain pioneer was to their salvation, but for all other sons, it was unto glory. So there wasn't a wrong answer, but
good,
they
good.
Specifically was referencing the captain.
Okay.
Yeah. That's good.
Okay.
Yeah, you can really say both, but. That's okay, guys. We're just hearing all kinds of sounds going on around here today. Okay, I'm gonna go on. We're gonna end it here. I'm gonna go ahead and do the very last one. We've already read Joshua 1:11. So to fill in the gap here, I'm just gonna let us all sit in unison. Joshua will lead the people across the Jordan to take possession of the
land.
Yes, that God was giving to them.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, so we have come halfway through on Joshua. If you can please mark in your book in case I get confused a little bit. We ended on page 25, and the next meeting, hopefully next Sunday, we will start on
26.
Page 26.
Yeah.
Okay. All righty. So let's just go. I think what I'm going to stick around, I'll probe a little bit because we really get into the meat of this Bible study, and I really do enjoy it. But I don't want to overlook acknowledging our birthdays and our sick and shut-in. So I'm probably going to move those up, and then we go through the Bible study. But we can always stop the Bible study anywhere we want.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to not acknowledge our sick and our shut-in. And I do need to, I know you guys probably going to share it, and we do need to add Wylene to our sick and shut-in list. And we have some family members that passed over the weekend. I don't have names, but
on Mama's side.
The Franklin
Mama
family.
Sister.
Just say the Franklin family.
The Irish family. Family, sister and brother.
The Irish one.
And Ivory.
Yeah.
Irish. And I don't know what
name is. Is there anyone else we wanted to add to the?
Can I
add my friend Laquita? She had open
LaQuita.
Heart surgery.
Oh my goodness! How you spell
LaQuita?
What's that?
Her friend. It don't matter. I don't need to know. Okay. All right, and we got her added. Anyone else? Okay, I think I got Loretta on here twice. Let me try to clean that up. Okay. I will go ahead and pray over our sick and shut in. Dear God, we confess our need for you on today for LaQuita, for Wylene, and the family of the Ivory family, Loretta and family, that includes Jarita and Toya, Patrick Ginger II, Perry Marshall, Douglas Bruce Jr., and Douglas Bruce Gladys Sr. and family, Briggs family, Tanja, John Rayson, Auntie Marie, Donna Smith and family, Rhonda Banks, Oliver Nellum, Auntie Diet Bear, Akira and Malachi, Tawana Thomas, Carrie and Willie A.C. Cody, Travis Nellum, Freddie Williams, James Richardson, Joseph, Caroline, Brian and Athea, and our youth that are at risk. Me in particular, Traymar and Nasir and Jameer, my grandsons, Auntie Betty and family, Sister Shirley and family, the Lowe's family and friends that includes Marianne Lowe, Mary Lowe, and Hubert Lowe, the family of Auntie Janet Williams, Jackie, Auntie Martha, the Moore family, the Cato family, Kenneth Jacob, Jayla Miller, and Harold Best. We need your healing and your grace, Father. We need hope restored. We need to be reminded that you work on behalf of those you love constantly, powerfully, completely. Forgive us for trying to fix our situations all on our own. Forgive us for running off different directions and spinning our wheels to find help when true help and healing must be found first in you. Forgive us for forgetting how much we need you, Father, above everyone and everything else. We come to you and we bring you the places we are hurting. You see where no one else is able to fully see or understand. You know the pain we've carried, the burden, the cares. You know where we need to be set free. We ask for your healing and grace to cover every broken place, every wound, every heartache. Thank you that you are able to do far more than we could ever imagine. Thank you for your mighty power that acts on behalf of your children. We reach out to you, Father, and know that you are restoring and redeeming every place of difficulty, every battle for your greater glory. Thank you that you will never waste our pain and suffering. We love you. We need you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Amen. All righty, but let's go to our birthday list, and I'm going to go back to March 24th up to April 13th. And on March 24th, we were acknowledging the late Dwight Thomas's birthday. On March the 29th, we had Keisha's birthday. On April the 5th, we would like to acknowledge the late Billy Mitchell and also Presley's birthday. And then on April the 12th, I have Ursula Randolph. Are there any other birthdays between 324 and 413 that I omitted?
Karen's birthday, April the 13th.
You know, I saw that and wrote it down and then still missed it. Auntie Terry.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. I sure did. Thank you, Dwayne.
You're welcome.
All righty. Okay, Mother May, I have you as our birthday singer today. You bless us with that.
Birthday?
Yes. Your birthday.
So that's saying your birthday.
Yeah.
Oh. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And many more.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Thank you for that, Mother. Alrighty, so in essence of you guys' time, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. Oh, I'm looking at the wrong thing. Let's just assign parts to next week. I'm looking for an opening prayer. Anyone volunteer to do the opening prayer?
I'll do it.
Did I see that?
No, I think that was Sean.
Oh, Lord. I get it right. There was Sean. Okay. Anyone for the sick and shut-in prayer? Okay. I'll put my name down. Anyone for the closing prayer?
I'll do it.
Okay.
Shirley.
Okay, I saw it. Okay.
Yes.
Righty. Okay. All right. I did not have a closer, a person to do the closing prayer. I'm going to open up. Anybody wants to box? I'm sorry. I had to go there.
Yes, you can ask me to do the closing prayer.
Okay, all righty, Beth. I can live with that. Okay. If you can use the closing prayer, but before you do, we go into it, does anyone have anything else they would like to share or words of wisdom or anything before we go into closing? Deacon Lowe joined us, and we would like to share.
Oh, okay.
Greeting, family.
Good evening.
Family members. Greetings.
Good evening.
And I'd like to thank the family for their hospitality, for welcoming us when we were there in memorial of Loretta Simmons, my sister. And I'm glad to see all the family there together. Words just can't express how I feel about all seeing all the family, even the other younger children that became adults now that I didn't know. It was still good to see all us together. And I'd like to thank you all for your prayers and all your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. All righty then. You may proceed, Darrell Sean, unless someone else, anybody else. Okay.
Ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, Lord, we thank you for this time of studying your word and learning from your wisdom. We thank you for the insight and applications that you have revealed to us through your spirit. We thank you for the fellowship and encouragement that we have shared with one another. As we close this meeting, we ask you to bless us and keep us in your love. Help us to remember and apply what we have learned today in our daily lives. Help us to be faithful witnesses of your grace and truth to those around us. Help us to grow more in our knowledge and love of you until we see you face to face. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
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 That was beautiful. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Amen.
Amen.
Alrighty, guys, I will leave y'all with this fifth closing. God will never go back on his promises, so don't hesitate to reach out and pray his promises back to him for you and to help us as we learn more about the worry battle. So just stay in prayer, worship, and praise him day and night. We love you guys. Have a wonderful week in the Lord and be blessed.
Y'all do the same. And we love you all, too.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good, that was good. A lot more reading than sharing, but that was good. Thank you, Hubie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had no problem with it, baby.
There's some weird, crazy sounds going on around us. Something was beeping, and then
looked like it.
Sounded like a bomb fell over here. Like, what in the world?
That's it.
Today,
Well, what made it come off of the standard?
Could be the change of the temperature. And stuff. But I tried to freeze it up a little because it's warming up, so I turned up in one notch.
Yeah,
I'll be tied up all day tomorrow. Doctor's appointment. What's up? Both. So far, right now, both of them.
You look at you look, you use your with your thing.
The car from the back.
And we got from the church.
No, you brought it in the bag, I guess.
You
want to
wait on you?
Well, y'all called me and I feel well met at that time. So I called you all. Well, what time y'all had frame in mind? I'm going to be ready by that time. If I can, I'll let you know.
Because Pastor said he's going to have a meeting, so I figured it'd be 7, and I didn't want to be rushing back if we left later than being all late.
I can't call it right now, but I'll let you know. Okay?
No problem.
But it don't count me in right now. So, we both can come there. You know what I'm saying?
Because if 2 or 3, that's good. If 3 is better than 2, that's good. I just don't want to be rushed to come back by
tomorrow. I did. But don't count me as 100 on that. Okay. No. Yeah, I don't mind you all going with Daphne. Take some pictures. I got a lot of pictures.
I
got
to go to room. I tried to call you, Mom. I wanted to call you. I wanted to ask, would you tell that from the clothes in his eyes? I walked in before we left Barnstable this morning. And I forgot all the things on the phone.
You got to call. You were saying my clothes, but you had my phone.
Yeah, and I didn't want to go there. I just put it in my bag and left it.
Oh, Miss Abby. What do you mean, Mom?
Abina.
And he didn't know who I was. And I said, if knew you came over to our house, I said, Brian's grandmother. And I had to tell her where we had three. Oh, yes, I remember. And I told her, I said, I got a chance to see the boy. She said, when they grown, I told her, yes, they have grown up on.
Text him while we were there. I hope you were enjoying this.
Yeah, and happy Easter.
Lindsay, I hope you were enjoying the grand boy by phone.
So, but I called.
Yes.
I bet you did.
I didn't know who she was when she texted me. Because I didn't have the number in my phone anymore.
You know, I had to know when she called up your husband to talk to the boys. So,
well, I'm just saying, I had it before, but I lost it on your phone.
Oh, yeah.
So when she texted me, the happy rub brush, they send a love to the family during this time of grief and enjoy your grand. And I said, well, I have a representative with you too, but I got a new phone and lost contact. You sure they did, so I can say the number. And then she responded, and she shared with me their Easter Sunday program, so I told her I'll listen to it. She was looking, I'm great. Home from church and having a bike speed. We'll have to do a friend later. Our church service gave me the ability to understand fire. So we'll listen to it. But yeah, he did.
Oh, the power was helping me to change. Because the box was open.
You got it.